believe him. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered unto him, We are Abraham's seed, and have never yet been in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, Ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Everyone that committeth sin is the slave of sin. And the slave abideth not in the house forever. The Son abideth forever. If therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now chapter 6, verse 66. Upon this, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Jesus therefore said unto the 12, Would you also go away? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we have believed and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Did not I choose you the 12, and one of you is a devil? Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that when thy Son spoke, we can report the same description of his words as those officers that were sent to arrest him. Never man spake like this man. Our Father, there is something within us that recognizes that his words are the words of eternal life. And some of us recognized this long ago. And because of that, we have been freed from our sins. And some of us are still in our sins, and yet something within us tells us that his voice is the voice of God. We pray that by thy Spirit, this understanding, our Father, shall be made a realization in our hearts, and that as the centurion looked upon him as he hung on the cross and said, This was the Son of God, that so all of us here today shall acknowledge that Jesus indeed is the Son of God. Hast thou not told us that's why he came? That we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing we might have life in his name. Your desire and our desire is that all men might have life. Have you not loved the world? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, Father, this day, impart the light that you desire to give to the world, to those who are without it in our presence. Prepare hearts by thy Spirit, empower lips, and we confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, as you have promised. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. There are two kinds of freedom that Christ offers to man, and I've read your book on them. I did not take time to read other verses that would clarify these two freedoms, but I trust as we go along, you shall understand. I will give you details about them, and you will understand about freedom refused. Christ offers both these freedoms. And the strange thing is this. If a man is a slave, why would not this man, if he were offered freedom, accept that freedom? There are reasons. There are good reasons why a man offered freedom would not accept this freedom. Let me tell you three. In the first place, a man would refuse this freedom because he would say, I don't need it. If you said, you may be made a citizen of the United States of America. I would say to you, I don't need it. I am a citizen. And I can verify that I am a citizen of this country. However, there are some to whom Christ offers freedom, and they say, we don't need it. And then Christ shows them that their spiritual papers are not in order, and that they do need this freedom that he offers, that they refuse. So they were legitimate in their refusal of this offer of freedom, because they said, we are Abraham's seed and have never been in bondage to any man. We don't need this freedom you're talking about. What do you mean, we shall be made free? So, if a man possesses the freedom or is under a delusion that he already has that freedom, then when the Son of God offers that freedom, they say, no, we do not need it. Another offer that the Lord Jesus made would be refused because of this reason. When that paralytic was let down through the ceiling and the Savior saw him in his pitiable condition, the first thing he said to him was this, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And those that were listening to his words said, this man blasphemeth. Who can forgive sins save one? God. Now, why would not they accept forgiveness of sins from Jesus? Because they would say, we don't believe you can give it. You understand? If a man says to others, your sins are forgiven, and I say, you are a blasphemer. If he came to me and said, I will forgive you your sin, I would say, you can't forgive me my sin. You understand? And he would have every right, and I hope that some of you call men who offer to forgive you your sins blasphemers, because there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There is one who can forgive sin. But these people say, Jesus blasphemes. He cannot forgive sin. And there are those who also say this. Yes, what you tell me is a ray of hope, but I am hopeless. There is nothing that can be done for me. That is illustrated in the man in John chapter 5. The Savior is in this porch that is filled with sick people. A pitiable sight again. Not one time, but multiplied. And the Lord Jesus goes up to this man who has been in this condition for 38 years. And he says to him, would you be made whole. Now, why did not that man grasp at the opportunity to be made whole? Because he said, sir, I have no man. You see? He said, I am without hope. No man cares for my soul. Nobody is here to stay with me so that when the waters are stirred up, I can get first cast into those waters. He said, I have no man. Now, others felt that same way. Here is a leper that comes to the Savior, and he's loathsome. And he says to the Savior, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. You see? He knew Jesus could make him whole, but he said, if you will, if you want to, if you can bring yourself to have compassion on my condition, you can make me whole. There are some people in the world who believe that there is not enough love in the Son of God for their condition to do anything for them. And so do you see, there are legitimate reasons for people to refuse the freedom offered by the Son of God, but never a reason after they understand the truth that Christ speaks of, because every man will understand that he is in need of that freedom, that Jesus is able to give him that freedom, and that Jesus cares for his soul and is prepared right now to give him the thing he needs most. That is what is so beautiful in the Bible. That if a man is offered something by God and he says, I do not need it, that God proceeds to explain to him his great need that he does need. They thought when the Lord Jesus said, you shall be made free, either they perversely twist his words or they misunderstand his words. They said, we have never been in bondage to any man. They are talking about physical bondage. But if this is so, there is a failure of their thought of their past history. It speaks about their forefather being an idolater beyond the river. And God told Abraham that his descendants would be in bondage in Egypt for hundreds of years. And they celebrated year after year their deliverance as slaves from Egypt. And then there was the Babylonian captivity. Their scriptures are full of it. And at that time, in humiliation, they had to go and say when they wanted to crucify the Lord Jesus, we do not have power to put anybody to death. But they're telling Jesus, we have never been in bondage to any man. You see what happens in a man's mind when it is hardened against the truth? This is the condemnation that light is coming to the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil, and the light shines upon man. And if man will yield and accept the light, then he's made free. But if not, he has every valid reason to refuse that freedom that the Lord Jesus offers to him. And so this morning, you don't need the freedom that Jesus has to give if you are free. You say, well, what is this freedom that he's talking about? So often what he said is misunderstood. The Lord Jesus said, if you knew who it is that talks to you, you would ask him and he would give you living water. The woman said, give me that water. She did not understand the kind of water that Jesus was talking about. And when the Savior spoke about a freedom that he would give, they did not understand what he was talking about. And so he proceeded to demonstrate what that freedom was. He said, every man that is committing sin is the slave of sin. Had I had time, I would have read you in Romans chapter 6. It is an exposition of John chapter 8. All the things that Christ says in brief, Paul expands. He says to them in John chapter 8, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But it's only if you continue, if you abide in my word. Now, here is something that evangelists should understand. They go and they expect to have results now. But the Lord Jesus is preaching the truth, and some have accepted outwardly and superficially. If we were dwelling on that point, I could demonstrate it to you. But they superficially accepted that what he said was true, but that's not salvation. The Lord Jesus said to those that had believed him, he said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If having believed him, they were made free, he would not speak of their being made free in the future. He said, if you continue in my word, and what happens is this, that at times there is a period of conviction by the Spirit of God in which one truth after another is brought to a man's heart, and he resists it and he wrestles with it, and finally he accepts one part of the truth of salvation, and then the Spirit convicts of another, because when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, and it does not happen instantaneously. On occasion, as in the case of Nathanael, it flashes upon him, and he understands in fullness who Jesus is. Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. But with many of us, it takes weeks, or months, or years. And it took me 7 years from the time I first remembered God's Spirit witnessing to me, until I said, why, yes, I understand, I believe. 7 years. A man, when I was 12 years old, took me to a religious meeting, and he was speaking on the chart from eternity to eternity. And he kept emphasizing the cross, that I needed the cross. There was salvation in the blood of Christ shed on the cross. And that seed entered my heart. But I neither accepted it or rejected it. I did not understand it. But God did not that day save me. And the man did not say, if you do not get saved today, you will never get saved. The seed was simply planted in my heart. And then I went on through life. And in brief, I tell you this, that 7 years later, when I was 19 years old, others came and were preaching to me the truth from God's Word. And when they did, I understood. But this time, in a period of a week, I was led to Christ. The truth came to me, and I continued in the truth. They asked me if I were a Christian. I said, yes. And they showed me the church membership was not Christian, was not salvation. That was Christianity. It was not salvation. And they asked me when I had been born again. And I told them I don't know what it means to be born again. They told me about salvation by grace through faith. And I did not understand about that. But little by little, I understood that I was a sinner, that Christ was the only Savior of sinners, and that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It took me a week to comprehend that. I continued in the Word, and then the truth made me free. And when I prayed to God, I said, oh God, I have sought to save myself. I joined the church. I was baptized. I tried to do good to my fellow man. You told me not by works of righteousness each man has done, but you told me that what I do, though not salvation, what your Son did on the cross for me, that provides salvation. Lord, I accept the salvation that is in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I was saved. But it took God, or me, 7 years of consciousness to work out, to continue and not reject once and for all the truth. And finally, the truth made me free. And to show you that the seed that was sown in my heart was not completely taken away by Satan. It was still there because I remembered 7 years back that man that was preaching when I was 12 years old was telling me the same thing that these sailor boys had been telling me this past week. And when I went back home, I looked up that man, and that man was Reginald Edwards Sr., and I'm here today, not because of him leading me to Christ, but because of his attempt to lead me to Christ, and I bumped into him, and he took me to the assemblies, and I've never been able to escape since. So do you see how the Word of God sown in the heart does not immediately spring forth? That's what evangelists have to do. We have to get results now. But you must understand that the Lord Jesus speaks about harvest, and he speaks about those that have sown and those that enter into their labors, and some reap. And so let us not be those who insist upon being the reapers, but let us be satisfied with sowing the seed. And then if a man comes and he trusts Christ as Savior, let us give credit to the man that spoke to him 7 years ago, 10 years ago, a year ago, whatever time. The salvation of God is a progressive thing. It happens in a moment, instantaneously, when you say, yes, as a guilty sinner, I trust Christ as Savior. But there has been a process. You have to think it through. The light shines. And how difficult it is for a man to say, yes, I am a sinner. And then to say, yes, Jesus is the only Savior of sinners. And the only way I can get this salvation is through faith in Christ. Lord Jesus, I trust you as Savior. At that moment, you're saved. But it took all that time to bring you to that moment. And God says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So think of that, the truth. You say, if the Son shall make you free, the Son makes you free. He makes you free through the use of truth. He is never like those believe in some mysterious salvation, that they're going along and without no fault on their part, suddenly they pass from death to life. It is never that way. There is always a conscious yielding of the will to God's way of salvation. It says, God commandeth men everywhere to repent. God commands. God lays truth before you, and you must accept, you must obey. But God does not have a man walking along, and suddenly he's transformed into being a child of God, and he was a child of the devil. Such a thing is unknown in Scripture. The Bible says the truth shall make you free, and God's Son uses the truth to make you free, and the Spirit of God within you uses the truth to make you free. And he says, if the Son shall make you free, and he does it through truth. He says, you shall be free indeed. They were free in word. They said, we've never been in bondage. Whereas they at that moment were in bondage, both physically and spiritually. So now, if you came here this morning not knowing these three things, then I know the condition you're in. Did you know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins? Did you say, no, and your sins haven't been forgiven? Did you know that the Son has power to make you free? You say, no, then you haven't been made free. Do you know that there is someone that loves you even unto death and went to the cross to bear your sins in his own body on that tree? If you say, no, then you are still in your sin. A man must know these things, or else he will refuse the salvation, the freedom that God's Son offers. The Savior speaks of it so often. When people came to him, self-righteous people, this is the way he dealt with them. He said, people that are well have no need of a physician, but people that are sick. What does it mean? He wasn't telling them that they were well. He said, they that be whole, like you think you are, you don't have any need of a physician. And until you see the sinfulness of your soul, you will never take Christ as sick. So you don't realize that you need freedom. You say, we are free. We have never been in bondage to any man. You haven't understood the words of Christ when he says, the Son shall make you free. There is a freedom from sin as well as a freedom from a Germany or a Russia or some other country in the world. There is a spiritual freedom, and that is the one that Jesus Christ speaks of. And thank God I was born free in this country, but at the same time I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. I was born a slave of sin. And as the Bible says, they go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. And all of you parents who have children and are truthful, you look at that child, just as Eve looked at her child. She said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And then she saw the activity of that child. And then she understood by her next son, by the name she gave him, that she misunderstood what this child was. And I've seen little children unable to walk, slapping at their mothers, screaming, beating on the floor, and they could not have their way. Now, what is that? Oh, you say, I know what men will say, but David understood it, the psalmist understood it, and God's Spirit understands it. It says, I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and Adam passed on to you that same fallen nature that was his when he took that fruit and ate of it. The Lord Jesus is trying to tell you, if you commit sin, you are afraid of sin. Let me show you some slaves, and they didn't know that they were slaves. Let me tell you, a slave of the sin of sex. It was Samson. He never got free. And yet if you ask Samson, who is your master? He would laugh and say, no one is my master. And if they put the gates of Gaza before him, he can rip them off their hinges and put them on his back and walk down the road laughing at them. He says, nobody is my master. And at the same time, if 1,000 men come against him, he can pick up the jawbone of their ass and kill them all. And he can say, no man is my master. And Delilah is deceiving him. and his mind is blinded, and finally he tells her the truth. Why? Because she is a slave to the sin of sex, and he could not escape. And finally, he who thought he was free because no man could bind him, he found out that he was a slave to sin. Even though physically he was strong enough to be free from any man, he was a slave to a particular sin. Now, there was a rich young ruler who came to the Lord Jesus, and he wanted to know about having eternal life. He turned out to be a slave of possession. It says he had great possession. And the Savior said, you want eternal life? He said, I'll tell you about that and how to have treasure in heaven. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and come follow me, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And it says his countenance fell at that saying, and he went away sorrowful because he had great possession. Why? Because he was a slave of possession. That is why. And Samson was a slave of sex, and the rich young ruler was a slave of things and possessions, and they could not free themselves. And yet, if you look at Samson's physical condition, no man could bind him. And if you look at this young man, morally, he was a thought reproach. Because when the Lord Jesus said, you know the commandments, he said, I've kept them all. And the Savior looked upon him and loved him. Why? Because as best that young man knew, he had kept those commandments. And the Lord Jesus said, one thing thou lackest. You see, even though with all his morality, he was a slave of materialism, and he could not free himself. And the Lord Jesus said, how hardly shall they that trust in riches enter the kingdom of heaven? And they said, who then can be saved? He said, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And so here is the man, and the Savior says it's impossible to free yourself from whatever master you are serving. In a subtle way, it takes possession of you. That it had gripped that young man, and he had spoken of eternal life. And he chose possessions rather than eternal life. And the Savior said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And that young man looked at his possessions, and he looked at eternal life, and he chose eternal life. Why? Because he was a slave. And the Lord Jesus was the only one who could make him free. He said, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. With men, it is impossible. Those are all of these tapes in the world promising you forgiveness of sins. Not one of them can free you from your sins. They can give you one part of bondage in the stead of another, but they cannot free you from your sins. And I will haste to add this illustration of bondage. You are a slave to religion. He said, a slave to religion? Oh, yes. This is what Paul had trouble with. He was dealing with slaves of religion. He said, I bear my fellow countrymen witness that they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not subjected themselves to the righteousness of God. He said, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, and they were slaves to religion, and they could not free themselves. And it took a miraculous vision from heaven before Paul, on the road to Tarsus, Paul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, could be freed from the slavery of religion. How he boasted, he tells us about that in Philippians chapter 3. He speaks about all the requirements of the law, and he said, I was above reproach. He said, the righteousness that is of the law, blameless. And then he understood that he was nothing but a slave of religion. You understand? And so there can be sex that is your master, there can be possessions your master, or there can be religion that is your master. And that's what Christ meant when he gave that invitation in Matthew 11. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And Peter in Acts 15 tells them about the yoke they had upon them. He said, why do you now again seek to put a yoke upon these Gentiles that neither we nor our fathers were able to bear? there is a yoke and there is a slavery and there is a bondage of religion, as well as of sex and of possession and of any other delusion that Satan puts before your eyes. And so I say, did you know that the Lord Jesus, the Son, could make you free? And you say, I did not know I needed that freedom. Then you do need that freedom. And you need to know that the Son can make you free. And He makes you free with truth. By telling you that you've sinned and come short of the glory of God. You are not that self-righteous person that you think you are. You're a sinner. And He tells you the truth, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Him. And He tells you that cleansing is by the precious blood of His Son. And then when those truths illuminate your soul, and you are not distant to the heavenly drawings of the Spirit, and you pass from death unto life, and then the Son has made you free, and you experience a freedom that is a freedom indeed. But until then, you are a slave, and you say, I've never been in bondage to any man. And Christ says, at this moment, you are a slave of sin. You need that freedom, and Christ can give it. And at the same time, if you say, I acknowledge that I am in bondage to sin, but I do not know that Jesus Christ can forgive that sin, the Lord Jesus said, I'm going to demonstrate to you that I have authority on earth to forgive sins. You say, I blaspheme. He said, I will demonstrate it. Which is easier to say to the sick of the palsy? Take up thy bed and walk, or to say, thy sins be forgiven thee. But that you may understand, I'm going to demonstrate that I have authority on earth to forgive sins. He said, take up your bed and walk. And God confirmed His authority to forgive sins by empowering that helpless man to rise and take up his bed and go home with it. And having seen that, they were filled with madness and they hated it. But Jesus Christ demonstrated that He had that authority to forgive sins. And so you say, I know I'm a sinner and I know that I need forgiveness of sins. Then the Lord Jesus has demonstrated that He's the one sent from heaven to forgive you your sins. And at the same time, if you are like that leper, Lord, if you will, you can heal me. Lord, I want to be healed, but I have no man. Then the Lord Jesus said, I am here. I am that man. I am prepared to heal your soul, to free you from your sins. I'm prepared to impart to you every spiritual need that shall ever come into your life. I'm prepared to bless you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. It is yours for the taking. But if you don't know those things, then you need them. But now that you do know these things, and God has demonstrated them from His Word, then you need them no more. Because all of them can be yours. You're a slave of sin, you can be free. The Son will make you free. You're a sinner and you need your sins forgiven. The Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin. And at the same time, He can give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. And there is one that God sent from heaven, and He loves you, and He cares for your soul. But you feel like those disciples when the storm came on the sea. Lord, perish thou not that he perish. And He came from heaven to save your soul, and you ask that He care that you perish. He loves you enough to forgive you your sins, though you've refused Him all these years. So, you did not know these things? Well, now you know them, and the only thing that causes you to remain a slave to sin is your refusal to accept this freedom that the Son is prepared to give you today, right now. How long has the Spirit been working in your life? Well, this may be the day that the truth shines within in such a way that you say, yes, and then today will be your spiritual birthday. But I told you, this is a message about freedom refused in the bad sense. Here is freedom that every man needs, but it was refused because of ignorance, because of the ignorance that's in them. But that freedom was refused. Now in John 6, Here is freedom refused. The Lord is speaking deep truths, things that men had never heard before. And finally, the truth became so intense. It says, upon this, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now, here is another offer of freedom. The Lord Jesus turns to the 12 and he says, will you also go away? And this time, Peter said, no, there is a freedom refused. Do you understand? And that is good. And in the will of God, I will go into details about that tonight. But understand that the Lord compels no man to continue with him. He says for those that had believed him, there was a beginning. If you abide, if you continue in my word, he said, I'm going to give you additional light. But he's not compelling them to stay at that time. He says, if you continue in my word. And here were disciples that had been going along with him, but had not committed themselves, had not once for all believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, which is demonstrated by the rest of John chapter 8. And the Lord Jesus, talking to them, when they get ready to leave, he doesn't run out with them and say, wait! I will make compromise. I will change my message. I must have multitudes following me. He watches them go away and he says absolutely nothing. But though he knows the answer, he turns to the 12 and he says, will you go away? That is the statement. Here is an opportunity for you to go away. You may refuse this freedom. And they said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You see the difference in the mind of those that are truly disciples, then are you my disciple indeed, and those that are disciples in words that are outwardly. So many people think that there is salvation that can be gained and lost. God's word knows of no such salvation. John says this, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For had they been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out from us, that it might be made known that all of them, not one of them, was of us. They were with him for a while, but they went out. Why? Because they were never of us. That is the difference. And for those to whom Christ offers freedom, those in the good sense say to Peter, freedom? I don't want it. No, I don't want that freedom. I am content where I am. Let me tell you this. Years and years ago, when we lived out in the country, a stray cat came to our house, and we did everything to drive it away. It was the ugliest cat. It was a sickly cat. We gave it the name Disease. We tried to drive that cat away. That, when it would come to the door, we would take a pan of water and throw water on it. It would run away for a minute, and then it would come back. And so finally, we accepted that cat. And we gave it water, and then the cat had kittens, and we had to take care of them. And so what happened? This cat refused to be rejected. And so here is the Lord Jesus, but something just the opposite. I don't have time to go into details and expand this illustration. But here is Peter, and the Lord Jesus does not try to drive him away. But he says to him, will you go away? And Peter has this much comprehension. He says, Lord, if we did go away, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And there is nothing that this world or any man in the world can give you that is equivalent to eternal life. They can offer you everything except eternal life. And the Lord Jesus is the only one who can give you that eternal life. And Peter said, Lord, no, we are not going away. You can't drive us away. You offer us the opportunity to refuse this freedom that you give us. We are not going to accept it because nobody has anything to replace what you have imparted to us. A freedom refused. In the bad sense and in the good sense. I have experienced no problem for a while, but thank God now I have refused that freedom to depart from Christ, and that is my choice forever. By God's grace, may it be yours. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so glad that there is one who can make us free, and that one is your Son. We are glad that he said, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And may no one feel in this meeting today, I have no man that cares for my soul. Let them understand that Jesus cares for them unto death, and that he has died for them upon the cross, and that this day he will receive them as Savior. We are thankful for this eternal life, this freedom from sin and from damnation, and we are thankful that Jesus Christ offers it to all. May all this day receive that freedom that Jesus Christ offers. In his name we pray. Amen.